B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back. It's Tuesday. Hit the ground running here on Zolak and Bertrand. You left here yesterday at 2 o'clock, and Kevin O'Connor had just dropped a story on The Ringer, right?
Yep.
It just happened yesterday, 2 p.m., that Kyrie Irving had become disengaged with his teammates, that he had become detached. That's what we left here with yesterday, and then late afternoon, early evening, Kyrie spoke. Out on the West Coast as the Celtics get ready for their matchup tonight against the Golden State Warriors.
I saw Celtics had a tweet. They tweeted out a picture of current mood post-practice, and everybody's smiling and have their hands on each other.
Oh, yay.
Hey,
we know what you're talking about.
Hey,
Boston,
March 4th was the day we decided to all come together.
Look at you, dummy. See you fun out here.
Mark D'Amico had a tweet that was at 3:32 yesterday.
Yeah.
And it said, attitude and body language at Celtics practice in San Fran is great. You'd never think they are in the midst of a rough patch if you didn't know it beforehand.
Well, they're away from Boston. That's what somebody tells me. They got on a plane and got the hell out of here. And, who plays out there? Oh, KD, right?
I mean, I will say this.
Maybe Kyrie had dinner with KD.
Mark D'Amico is a team employee.
Oh, Celtics.com.
A Celtics.comer, if you will. But either way, so what? They've got good body language and attitude to practice. So, you want to buy back in on that?
Was that an aggressive practice or was it a laid-back shoot-around?
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I can't accurately describe it. All I know is that Kyrie Irving spoke yesterday.
That's that nice plane ride.
And this came a day after he spoke post-game on Sunday and gave nothing. It was very brief. And
hey, Louth, turn us on? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Hey, Louth, turn us on. What does that mean? No. What does that mean, Jim? Now I want to know what that means.
Hey, Louth. Hey, Louth.
That's a completely not-for-on-air thing. That's, yeah.
You're turned on by her?
He could have just sent me a text.
No.
What?
Turned.
All right.
Andrews turns Louth on.
For those of you on the radio, listening on the radio, they just flashed a graphic in the studio of a woman. Who was it?
That's
Aaron Andrews. Zoe doesn't get distracted by stuff like that at all, ever.
And they put it right in front of Zoe's face, and Zoe immediately goes, it says, hey, Louth, turn us on. That seems like a message being sent from the headquarters of NBC Sports Boston.
Yeah, the button wasn't pressed.
Oh.
So let me see what he has to tell me. Hang on.
Let's find out what it is.
Hold on.
I want to know what
Can
it is.
Can I hear him?
That's what it was?
Yeah.
You put that graphic up 3 minutes into the show right in front. Put it on the back ones. Don't put it on the one right in front of Zoe's face.
They got the subs.
And I just happened to be looking right at it too, and I'm like, "What the hell is that?"
Yeah,
that's distracting.
Up back here and over here.
Like, what the hell is that?
That's usually what we're talking about. That's current.
Well, right. So I'm used to it being.
I'm like, did I miss somewhere? The office turned on by some woman.
I'm sure you can see it on that shot from behind us. There's giant, like 42-inch screens.
She's somewhat attractive, but I mean, I can understand why Loth would like her.
Maybe bigger. I don't know. But anyway, where was I?
He wants to know what sound we were going to play.
Oh.
Listen, he's part of the show, too, so he gets the ribbing just like everybody else. It's good.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
Who
fine,
is it? Josh?
Josh, yeah.
Anyway, Kyrie. So Kyrie spoke after everything he didn't say Sunday. I don't know if he was hearing it. I don't know if he was reading The Ringer and saying, it's out that I've, detached from my teammates. Maybe I should start to talk a little bit. And he tried to strike maybe an apologetic tone, I thought. Yesterday, and I don't know, it seemed like he had some sort of level of regret, but here it is, Kyrie Irving yesterday at Celtics practice.
I said it before, but I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, be famous, be a celebrity, wherever embodies that, so it's a little hard for me, I wanted those things when I was younger, but now at this point in my career, I just want to play basketball at a very, very high level, and the distractions that come within the team sometimes can get overwhelming, and I'm human, so And I just try not to let it seep into, you know, my teammates. And that's the most important thing is just, you know, set an example for these young guys. And I don't even want to call them young guys, but my teammate. When you come into, you know, a situation where, you know, you're heading into free agency, you have to answer every single question about the team. You have to answer about the mood, the attitude. And, you know, I got away with doing that for so many years of just, like, you know, being angry and not really being questioned about or anything like that. It's just like, what's wrong with me? It's like, this gets overwhelming at times just from, you know, you have high expectations. You want it all right now. And you have a particular level that I've been at for a long time since I was a kid. I was blessed with a lot of talent. And to be able to share that, that would be beneficial for the group.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. Stop talking. He's blessed. He's got to shut it down.
Talent.
Now he's going to free agency? I thought he was staying.
What do you mean? Where in there does he say free agency?
He said heading to free agency.
Well, yeah. Right in the middle of it. He's going to be a free agent.
I thought he was staying.
Well, he's talking about it being his walk year, which is why all these questions
have come up. Keep talking like he's 34? Is my question. Well, I can catch myself, you know, talking about the young kids, me being a leader. Again, leader, leader, leader. Why'd you leave Duke early? Oh, to go to the NBA where his cameras and. Why are you doing movies?
Well, he wanted that when he was younger. When he says
all of a sudden, when you're 22, you want it, but when you're 26, you don't. Now all of a sudden, you don't want cameras. But then you go All Star Weekend when you were hurt.
What do you mean 20? How about 25?
25.
I made that movie last year.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so the best.
I don't know
part,
what he wants.
The best part about this is as he was giving this quote, he in the middle of this, he was getting dressed. He was, you know, getting together there. You know, getting himself put together. And in the middle of this, he put on, the middle of the clip you just heard, he put on an Uncle Drew hat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy doesn't even see what he's doing.
He mocks himself.
What are you doing? I don't like the kid. And he's referring to what he said on Sunday, which was, I won't miss any of this bleep when I'm done playing. The camera's in the face.
It's nice to pick and choose when you want the camera.
But come on. Yeah. Deadspin had this headline. I didn't read the story, but Jim... screen grab the headline for us.
Man, you don't really need to read the story. Just read the headline.
Yeah, I don't need to read the story. Man who starred in summer studio flick about his own brand developed signature character. I do not desire fame. Like, what? Oh, it's just so fraudulent. I think he just, when he does this, he just wants to sound like he's, you know, he's just done a lot of thinking, right? He's done a lot of thinking.
Well, he is a thinker. Like, I think you say Kyrie, I think of that statue, the thinker, you know, the guy with his chin on his.
Rodin, I believe.
Let me think.
He wants to come off as someone who's very, you know, introspective.
Yes.
Looking deep down inside.
Yes. I'm going to make really big words here as I continue to talk. Yeah. Be long words, elongated words.
The young guys, you know what? I don't even want to say young guys.
Yes, I don't want to say young guys. I get offended because, you know,
those are my teammates.
They're part of what I am.
Those are my teammates, guys.
Yes.
And. I'm sorry, but when you start off by saying I don't like cameras and I don't desire fame, well, then I'm sorry. I can't buy anything else you're about to say. And so maybe Kyrie had terrific body language yesterday, and Kyrie was one of the many people that seemed to have a little pep in their step. I can't buy any of it with this team. I don't buy it.
He needs to just shut up and not do interviews. And I don't say get rid of him because I'm not like down him. I think they need him. I want him here. I want him to sign long term because I want to see them play well into the postseason. I don't want nice regular seasons. We've seen that over the years. I'm tired of that.
I don't ever tell players to stop talking. I always want players to talk.
You know what I mean? Just stop recycling the same crap.
I'll never say that.
Okay? Unless you got something really good to say.
I will say this about him.
This is recycled crap that he's given you a week ago.
I don't want players to stop talking. From his perspective, it might be best to stop talking.
Yeah,
it
might be. Because he's starting to contradict himself and stuff, and he looks stupid. You know, when you're filming movies...
I don't think he looks stupid. I don't think he's anything stupid about it. I think that...
Well, when you're filming two movies and you're saying you don't like cameras, it makes you look dumb.
I just think it's fraudulent. I think he wants to...
Yeah, you want a fraudulent athlete leading your team? No.
It's just not believable. That's
right.
All.
Yeah.
It's not a believable
don't talk.
Statement.
That's all I'm saying. Just don't talk. If you don't have anything to elaborate or something more on basketball instead of
it's
the same.
Just empty.
I don't want to be a leader. I just want to play at a high level. I don't want cameras.
No, he has to talk yesterday. They're playing Golden State this week.
Well,
that's a big game.
Well,
he's got to talk.
That's why he's excited.
If they were playing the Clippers, he probably wouldn't have spoke.
I wish he would get.
That's a good point.
Here's the thing, though, with him.
Third Chicago.
When you get Kyrie to go deep and go deep into a topic, why is it that he's always talking about himself?
No, he's elaborate.
Why doesn't he ever get deep and become a thinker when he's talking about the Celtics as a team?
Yeah, give me something.
Maybe he has, and I've missed some of it, but it feels like anytime you get him to really go on at length, he's talking about himself again.
See, but I've defended him at times because I think he has given you the same thing over and over where he's tried to tell you, I get it, they don't. And when you keep asking me if I'm confident in this team, I've told you for 2 months in every interview that I've done locally, maybe that's where he's getting sick of all the questions, the local things. Well, what do you think about this team? What about leadership? What about, you know, this and that? You know, are you confident in this team? What about the young guys? What do you think about Gordon Hayward? What do you think he thinks of Gordon Hayward's game right now? What we think of Gordon Hayward's game. What do you think a guy that actually knows the damn game thinks of Gordon Hayward, but he can't say it? And you keep poking him and poking him and poking him. I've defended him to this point, but don't start with the camera stuff. Don't be bitching walking in yesterday to the biggest game that you played in a while. Home. That's a big one. Houston at home. A lot of people watching. National broadcast. That's a big one.
Yep.
That's a juice game.
It is.
Harden.
It's part of the job.
My kid wanted to watch. Harden's playing.
Part of the job.
First, our introduction. Szolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Szolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy.
Yeah.
This is not some, like, you know, show they're putting on for the media. When you get, you know, you have relations with a lot of players, when I'm one-on-one with a lot of guys, you know, I think to the outside world, they see the fame, the money, all the trappings that go with it. They're the best in the world at what they do. You know, they say, how is it possible? Like, they could even be complaining. And I hear this on television all the time. A lot of these young men are genuinely unhappy. I mean, some have come from very difficult circumstances. That doesn't help.
Right.
Some of them are amazingly isolated.
Oh, this league.
Meanwhile, Adam Silver.
Oh, you NBA people.
Commissioner of the NBA is talking about his...
get a grip.
His depressed league. There's a lot of young men that are very unhappy and depressed in his league.
My shoe's not selling like the other shoe.
Oh, my God.
And my rap record didn't make the top 10. Oh, my God.
Now, listen. Depression and things of that nature affect everybody, regardless of
your
financial circumstances, right? It's a real life thing.
Oh, he's talking about that league making him feel that way.
But what does that mean when you're talking about your league?
Yeah.
And that was at the Sloan Analytics Conference over the weekend. Is the number disproportionate in the NBA? Is that what they've discovered? Is that what he's trying to say? That everyone in the league is depressed?
They look pretty happy All-Star.
Isolated.
I don't know about
I'll tell you what.
Isolated.
I can tell you, I feel depressed and isolated watching this Celtics team every night. Because I sit there by myself on the couch watching it, and it's depressing as all hell.
I had a buddy that took a family of five, and he was so pissed off. And the kids get excited during the games. They want to cheer, and I guess just sat there.
I went to a game this season and fell asleep.
30. Yes, you did.
It looked like you did.
Sure as hell looked like I did. Might as well roll with it, Hardy. Meanwhile, email from the headquarters at NBC Sports Boston. Josh is apologizing now for the graphic. What is he doing?
You want to try this? You want to put him on the air?
What is he doing?
Why
is he apologizing?
What do you want?
What the hell is he apologizing? You can't apologize. What is this?
All you got to do is press buttons.
You want to talk to him?
Yeah.
This is funny.
Well, refresh everyone's memory. What's the graphic?
Last segment, can we put the graphic back up again?
The graphic is Jim is horny.
It's a nice graphic. I don't know whose face it is.
Jim, it's Aaron Andrews.
Are
and
you
Jim,
sure? I'm not sure that it is. It's all blurred out.
No, it's Aaron Andrews, and it turns Jim on.
You're a big Aaron Andrews fan? So can we talk to him on the air? Is that allowed? Is that not allowed? Is it technologically?
I don't think it's ever been done before, but I think we can do it. It makes sense that we can do it.
Is it technologically possible is what I mean to say.
Let's find out.
Josh, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Whoa!
Hey,
fine.
Wow!
Yes, we can hear
you. Wow! You should not be apologizing for this.
No, it's okay. So here's what happened. Jim didn't have his button on.
Yeah.
And so we were going to play some Kyrie sound in the first segment. I wanted to know what cut you guys wanted. And because he couldn't hear me, I had a graphic built with a woman that said, hey, Lau.
Who's the woman?
Turn us on.
Who was the woman?
Well, it was Aaron Andrews. We have a very limited amount of women.
Yep.
That are images that can be selected.
Well, next time talk to me, Josh. I have binders full of women.
Josh, how much do you hate Early Edition?
No. I love Early Edition.
Late Show.
So the reason I selected a woman was because I thought that it would get Jim's attention.
Oh, it did.
It got everybody's attention.
Oh, it got everyone's attention.
Jim almost knocked his computer over.
I read you like genuinely feel bad that you did that. I think
I didn't want to distract the show or interrupt anything.
No, that's absurd.
Okay.
It's absurd. We might bust your chops about it. But yeah.
Glad this works.
You can't just throw stuff.
This is great.
This is awesome.
We can talk to him on the air.
This is great. We're going
to
do this more.
We got to do this more often.
We're going to do this more.
Is Tanguay there yet? Preparing?
He usually gets in around 1:30, I think.
1 o'clock for a 6:30 show.
What time do you think he gets up in the morning?
What time do I think?
Tanguay. What time do you think Tanguay gets up?
9:30.
Yeah. Must be nice.
I guess that weird.
What time does Zoe get in for his 10 o'clock show?
Oh, 9:30.
When's Zoe ever been late? Name a day. Name a day. Give me a day I've ever.
I was
been
just
late.
Talking to somebody about this morning. I said I think it's an athlete thing.
How many years we've been doing?
We've talked about this.
How many years we've been doing?
You know, you may be crap once you show up, zero. But you got to show up. You got to be on time. There are a couple of things you got to do as an athlete and an actor. Right? These are the two things.
Sure.
You got to know the playbook. Yep. Or you got to know your lines. And be on time. Everything else will take care of itself after that. You might suck, and you might get fired.
Might be a bad day at work.
But you got to start by being on time. That you cannot be late. Am I right?
Right.
Practice,
it's
flights,
pride. It's self-pride.
Games. You got to be on time.
You try to teach your kids that. Always on time. Get your ass to school. Don't be tardy.
Were there a lot of guys who showed up late?
Yeah, then they really weren't there much after that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to be on time.
You usually get two chances.
So that's been ingrained in you, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's fear. Fear of losing your job.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's self-pride, too. Like, I like to be here, and I make sure I'm here. I have an obligation to you.
Based on Fred yesterday, I'm pretty sure we can all show up late, and it's cool.
Well, it's cool. The program director thought it was really funny. Like, that was the best segment they did.
That was encouraging news when I heard that. I'm like, yeah, awesome.
I thought that today when I got up.
That's good to know.
When I got up at 5:45 today, and I had my first pot of coffee, and I started looking at stuff. And I think, wow, if I got in my car at 10:40, that would be equivalent to what Fred did yesterday. I'm thinking, wow, I could do that like 5 hours from now, get in my car.
All right, I want to get to these Jaylen Brown comments, if you don't mind. So here's what he said to Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe about the Celtics and where they're at. How is he feeling? He said, to be honest, I'm not feeling good at all. The losing, it's not a good feeling. It's not too good about that.
Good.
Or he says, I'm not too good about that.
Good.
And he says, because right now, it's not good. It's toxic. I can't really point out one thing. I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to try to be a part of the change. I'm going to try to do my best. Mm-hmm. That's all I've got to say.
Does he understand what the word toxic is? A strong word.
That's a strong word.
Is.
And Jaylen Brown's a really smart guy, so he is not just throwing that out
there. That's what I'm trying to say here.
He's a very thoughtful, super intelligent guy. You know, arguably one of the smartest players in the league.
I like the fact that losing doesn't sit well with him. I like that. That's good. Don't accept the current state. Now,
but when that guy talks, he doesn't like haphazardly just throw out a word like toxic.
Okay, this word's been thrown around before with the Patriots. You know, going back to the drama of that season, two seasons ago, when toxic environment down there, people talking, chirping. They went to 3 straight Super Bowls, lost one, sandwiched in there in the middle, but still managed to find a way to get to the big game. Tells me his season isn't lost if you could find it. Maybe he's pissed he's not playing more or starting, right? Doesn't he have to start? If you're going to fix any of this or shake a lineup up or do something, Gordon Hayward down, him in.
I think it would
make... That's easy for me.
Well, I think what you're talking about is Marcus Morris taking his seat.
Well, that too.
And Jaylen Brown inserting him into... But I don't think that's going to change the fortunes of the team. The team issues go way deeper than the lineup.
Okay.
And trying to spark a guy, which should be happening. I'm not saying that's not important. It is. That should be happening anyway.
But if you're a young player and you're playing
the fact
well,
that everybody's miserable and it's toxic, that's the biggest problem here. It's the biggest issue they've got.
Yeah, Celtics' mood yesterday was pretty good. They showed it at practice. They tweeted from team website. That's nice. Everybody's happy out there. I think they're happier when they're away from the city. And they're a better home team. They should be, right? That's what helped carry them last year. Home court's important to this team.
Well, they've got a losing record on the road.
Home court to this team should be important.
No, if you believe that Kevin O'Connor story, if you believe the Kevin O'Connor story that basically they're all separate personalities, they would be better at home. Being in their house, driving to work, they're not staying together in a hotel. They're not hanging out together on the road.
They get on the same plane.
Maybe that's why they have a bad road record.
Sit in a tube that travels through the air. Yeah.
Steve is in Carver today. He wanted to respond to what Adam Silver said. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, so guys, Adam Silver was in Boston over the weekend.
Yes.
He was actually at the Celtics game against the Wizards. And if you listen to his comments, he mentions players not being happy about being famous. Now, that's something Kyrie Irving alluded to yesterday. So I actually think maybe he talked to Kyrie, and that was what he was referencing when he was saying these young men aren't happy with their fame and stardom. I don't know.
And it was directly related to what Kyrie was feeling.
Yes, I think that he talked to Kyrie over the weekend, to put it bluntly.
Yeah, you know, okay. You know what some of these guys should do? Probably stay in school another 2 years, hold a tray, get in line at training table, put a backpack on, go to class.
And that's why we
played
it. He
won't be that famous.
It sounds like he's talking about Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
That's why we played it. And it was said, again, in Boston at
Sloan over
the weekend. Kevin Durant. All these guys. What are their issues
Anthony
exactly?
Davis.
What are their issues exactly? Yeah. You know what I think some of their issues might be in the league? I think you get guys in the league that don't truly love basketball.
Yeah.
That it's something they grew up with and got really good at and were just tremendous athletes and continue to work and work and work and refine their skills until they become amazing superstar level talents.
Kawhi Leonard, if you love basketball, do you do what he did here?
I don't think so.
There
Shocker. Somebody right. that with the way youth sports is now, they're playing basketball 5-6 days a week for 17 years by the time they're age 25 and they start getting sick of it.
Aren't some of these guys getting minutes to where they're controlling their, I don't want to say time, but if you're sitting down in a tie game, but, oh, you already hit your minute limit, we're going to make sure we don't wear you down. So go ahead and sit down. What athlete, what's come off the court during a tie game late in the fourth
and
quarter?
And to me, Jim, I think we're finally sort of seeing this generation emerge as the generation in the NBA. Because Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, I mean, I don't think they quite went through it the way the modern player did.
How about Ray Allen and his work ethic? I know that's a
group. No, there's a big difference.
That's
when you
No. I'm talking about
together.
Growing up with the game.
Right. There's a big difference when you take a basketball and you go outside by yourself or with a couple buddies and play basketball in the whatever, the street, your yard, whatever it might be, or the park. And there's a difference between going to an organized basketball event 5 or 6 days a week.
Yes.
There's a big difference there.
Huge
this is the
difference.
Group. I can see Paul and Pierce and Ray Allen have been the previous.
Correct.
Going out there with the basketball, just playing in the park, doing these games. Yeah.
Even you know, LeBron James to some degree, right? He's in his 30s. He's a little bit older than these guys. He may have had it more. I know that, you know,
I'm telling
it's not
you
like
guys,
AAU wasn't around then.
But I'm telling you guys just, this. You got three little boys.
There's
you got
something
kids.
Different about this generation of players, and this applies to pretty much every sport, not just basketball.
No, this is lacrosse. This is club lacrosse. This is, club soccer. The baseball tournaments where you're traveling. Why the hell does a local small baseball team, you talk about the minors, you talk about Little League, what the hell are you going to Long Island on the 4th of July weekend for 5 days to compete in a tournament down there against a team you don't even know if they can hold a candle to you? Well, how does that make you a better parent or a better kid? Because you get to stay in a Fairfield Suites. Don't let your kids play AAU. AAU wears it out. It's a moneymaker. It really is. It makes kids not want to play because it's year-round. It's constant. You never get time to do other things or play other sports. Didn't Bobby Orr say this? Let your kids play other sports. Go out and play baseball. Go out and play soccer. Don't play one sport and play year-round. Wear these kids into the damn ground. I've seen it.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody else probably thought they were supposed to be clicking and, you know, winning 65 games, you know, because they had the talent and they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, Game 7. But it's a new season. It's a lot of teams that changed their roster to play, to stack up in the East. So it's a different team. So they still, you know, getting used to each other, getting Gordon Hayward back and Kyrie back and, you know, another year experience for the guys that been through the playoffs. So there's going to be some ups and downs throughout the season. It's the nature of the game. You know, you got a bunch of young players and you got a couple of veterans that have been through the struggle. But they're still trying to figure each other out. And it takes more than just a half a year or a whole year to figure it out. You know, they're just going to keep growing. So, you know, what you see right now is probably not the finished product.
Kevin Durant on the Celtics yesterday. Jackie McMullen has a story today on Gordon Hayward, ESPN.com. It says that the recovery process for Gordon Hayward includes the assistance of a mental health counselor to help navigate the mental gymnastics of returning to, quote, normal, whatever that means. Hardy is nodding. Is that in approval of returning to normal?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, that all makes sense to me.
Working with the counselor.
Totally necessary.
Working with the counselor to navigate those gymnastics.
Yes.
Has been a major step in Hayward's healing that he concedes took some time for him to reconcile. So not only does he need the mental health counselor to recover from the injury, but he suffered mental anguish just accepting that he was going to have a mental health counselor.
Right. What?
He's beyond soft.
I'm stressed that I have someone to deal with.
You can see it on the court. I said this watching him the other day. It's like he just floats. Like he's there on the court, but you don't even notice him.
See,
he
this
checks
is,
out.
And again,
he's
timid. I know we don't like to mix sports around here, but yeah. I think it bears mentioning that when Noel Achari got his face destroyed one night, he had to go through like 24 hours of straight counseling so that he could be back on the ice the next game.
That wasn't counseling.
Well,
that was oral surgery.
His like lips stitched together again, because this is what is required of every athlete now.
Cassidy said it was worse than one.
They
got good news on that.
Everybody has to do all this nonsense. It was a horrific injury that sucks. You take a year off, you get better, you go play basketball again. Or don't.
It's hard, Hayward said. It's embarrassing. You want to be the guy that says, I'm strong. I don't need any help.
Maybe spend less time on Twitch.
During his most discouraging days, Hayward recalls what Paul George confided to him, that it took two full years before he could play freely without the residue of his own catastrophic open tibia fracture in 2014.
I would say that's a little worse than what Hayward suffered.
Patience.
Or maybe it's just as bad. And PTSD exists in many different levels.
Not like that.
Really?
Really? Says patience, George counseled Hayward. Focus on who you are, not who you used to be.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to have Gordon Hayward be the guy he used to be again. If somehow this counselor could say, focus on what you used to be, Gordon, because that's the Gordon that they're paying for. The Gordon they're paying for is the old Gordon. They need the old Gordon back.
You don't have this four-year luxury to where you can ease his way back into it when you're forking over $30 million a year for this guy.
Jackie McMullen also has the detail that Celtics assistant Scott Morrison has been working one-on-one with Hayward he signed his deal here in Boston. And he waited until early January to provide Hayward with the visual of what he needed to take the next step forward.
And what would that be?
Bullet points here. Hang on the rim.
Oh.
Which is get to the basket more.
Badass. Yeah. That would mean get in the paint.
These are the sayings. Hang on the rim, which is to get to the basket more. Get in your bag, which is to try more creative shots.
Hey, what's
such
in your
as
bag?
His teardrop floater. And use your claws.
Your mitts.
Use your claws to be more aggressive. Morrison found positive evidence of each of these traits from Hayward's days with the Jazz, then spliced them next to examples of a more hesitant Hayward in a Boston uniform.
No, they didn't.
They did.
They're not matching up like the Rich Eisen video.
They did.
This is you then. This is you now.
That's what
we
they did to him.
Then.
So for a guy who needs the mental help, do you think that worked well? They showed him old Gordon in Utah when he was fabulous and then matched it to a highlight of him in Boston where he wasn't so great. Here's what Morrison tells Jackie Mack in the story. Quote, I wasn't sure how he'd react. Gordon's a thinker. He's watching all those clips, the good and the bad, and he's focusing on the bad. You think? I'm going to show you a clip of you sucking and then you doing really well. Which one are you going to focus on? Probably the one where you sucked, and you know it. So Gordon Hayward is now caught in the, the mental gymnastics, as it's written here, where he's just saying, he's now thinking that the opportunities are not there. He's saying, even if I was fully healthy, there would be nights production-wise where the numbers aren't going to be there. Somebody gets hotter, I'm not shooting well, and we'll go in a different direction, and that's how it's going to be, and that never happened to me before. That's about his role. About he has mental issues with the role. When it does happen, it's like, physically he's not there yet. In my mind, I'm saying, no, I'm fine. The opportunities just weren't there. So now, I think he's getting to a point where he's thinking, my problems? They're not actually from the injury at all. It's just because my role is different here. I'm not getting the same opportunities here.
Well, it's
and that's a dangerous thought, too.
It's a 1-2 punch.
He's all over the place.
What a basket case. Then you get the wife saying, this is what my life has come to.
And it's a very...
Yeah, you collected $30 million a year.
It's a great
that's
read.
What your life's come to.
Read it for yourself. Go to ESPN.com.
Oh,
the headline is, The Waiting for Gordon Hayward is the Hardest Part. Jackie McMullen's story went up this morning. Check it out for yourself. It doesn't paint a pretty picture.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's
pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen, we want to go out there and win every game, right? So you win every game or get points every game, then what? Like, so you're not supposed to do that then? Or because you're a certain time of year? Like, it is what it is. We're out there. We're trying to win every night. Hopefully when April comes, we're playing our even better.
You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe and Essen is with us. Billy!
Vito!
How you doing?
What's up? How you doing? Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, Hardy.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hardy's here.
Oh,
Jim, hi.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we got
Tom,
those pleasantries out of the way.
Tom. Hi. Mm-hmm. I already said hi to Tom.
Tom, say hi to
Now that that's over. Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Bruins. You may have just heard him in that clip there, and it was responding to a question about whether or not the Bruins are too hot right now.
Too hot.
Heading towards the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. Are they too hot, Billy?
No, they're not too hot. They're not, because they haven't played, you know, to nearly, at times they've had great games, but there's been a lot of mistakes, and that's not a bad thing. It's just a normal thing here and there. They can play better. They can do some things better. Others are defending beautifully, but perhaps they can, you know, clean up some mistakes in the neutral zone. And, I mean, look, this is... It, you know, sometimes people are never happy. Sometimes we're looking for questions to ask. And right now, they're on this amazing stretch, but it's not perfect, Beetle. So they're not too hot. They're going to lose eventually. We know that. The key now is going to be to temper that, or maybe just to limit that and get yourself into a great position heading into the playoffs. Figure out your lines. Really figure them out. Where do you maximize your potential there? Make sure everybody's as healthy as possible and going with the right attitude. And here's the only thing, Beetle. I do think they'd like home ice against Toronto. So you got to stay hot to keep that spot.
What's it say for guys like Achari? And, you know, you heard Cassidy today, and maybe you didn't, but what TNR, he said, he came in that day when, you know, when the face got split, and they told him, he's going to be in the chair for probably about 5 hours, wouldn't expect him to play. Cassidy said, yeah, we actually got good news. His mouth was worse than what we first thought, which means, okay, we're just going to take these teeth out, move a couple around, stitch it up, and he was able to go the next day. What's it say for a team that has that type of toughness? And I know it's hockey, but I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it doesn't resonate on paper, but that kid's type role just said, you know, I want to play, put me in.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you guys know that come playoff time especially, there are guys that are playing with injuries that are not just you know, hurting, but they're significant to the point where the normal person wouldn't be able to function going to their non-physical contact everyday job. These guys figure out a way to do it. And other athletes do as well. But hockey just seems to have that extra gear to it, where extra level of pain threshold. What does it say about this team? One of the things, though, it says is that no try, first of all, besides loving, wanting to play and loving, you don't want to lose your spot in the lineup.
Yeah.
You can help it. You don't want to lose your spot because you know that everybody else is playing pretty darn well right now. And you're seeing, for the most part, when guys come into the lineup, they're excelling instead of being tepid. You know what I mean? Then just they're coming in. They're doing a great job in Providence getting these guys ready. And guys are coming in and they're taking advantage of opportunities. And that's part of his role. He knows what he is. He's a third, fourth line guy, whatever you want to label that line. And those guys have that extra attitude, though, that they don't want to be out of the lineup.
Talking with Billy Jaffe and Nesson here on Zolak and Bertrand. Kevin Paul DuPont had an item in the Globe the other day about how much Tuukka Rask will start from now until the end of the season. He wrote, with 17 games left and only a pair of back-to-backers, Coach Bruce Cassidy likely will go with Rask in upward of a dozen starts, if not more. Billy, what do you make of that? How much should Tuukka start the rest of the way? What should sort of be the balance there down the stretch?
Well, I asked Butch that yesterday, specifically asked that to Butch, and he said they mapped out the other day, the coaching staff and Bob Asenza, goalie Bob, sat down and they mapped out the rest of the season. And I would say it's in erasable ink, put it that way. It's in pen, but erasable kind. Tuukka's not going to start any more, is not scheduled to start any more than 10 games, Beetle. In fact, it may end up being 9-8. My guess is it'll be 10-7. You want to give them a little bit more work. And I think that's the right amount for Tuukka Rask getting into the playoffs. 10 more starts, 7 for Halak, And therefore, you know, Halak, by the way, is scheduled to start tonight. And therefore, you've given Tuukka just enough. You know, he'll play. He'll start. My guess is he'll have two consecutive starts two times the rest of the way. And then the other ones will be back and forth between Tuukka and Halak. And I think that's the right amount for his physical shape and for his mindset. And you know, look, if both goalies keep playing like they're playing right now, that's the key. That's the key, Beetle. If it thinks something changes the next week or two, which we certainly hope it doesn't, but if it does, then you'll adjust from there.
Bill, you had the way you started for Tuukka and then, you know, bringing up that incident where he went away from the team, came back. I thought this is the beginning of the end for him here. And are you surprised he's sort of, you know, figured everything out and he's playing at the level he's playing at? Because if he gets hot, this team could go deep.
You're right. Am I surprised? No, Joel, I'm not surprised. I'm very happy. I'm relieved as well. Because, you know, you do start thinking like, wait a second, you can't have this happening again. Yet he went on that epic run last year, later part of the season. What was it, 19 in a row, 19-0-2, something like that, where he was hot as all heck. But you start saying, wait, you know, we can't be having these lulls. You cannot have these moments. Then you try and say in the back of your mind, and I don't know if you do this, Zoe, with football, and I don't know if you know anybody out there does it with basketball, but you have to remember how long of a season it is and how there's ebbs and flows to it and how, you know, you guys can come in your business and you can have five good days on the air, and then the next week you've got three bad ones in a row and you kind of feel like the day's going, you know, the show's going. It's just the way it is. But we lose focus of that a lot of times in sports because every day we get measured on a win and a loss in sports. That's the difference.
Talking with Billy Jaffe. He's with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy, one of the things that has been made a big deal in the NHL this year is the celebrations that have happened with the Carolina Hurricanes. And we haven't talked about that with you at all this year. And now, you know, since they're on the schedule and they're up next for the Bruins coming up tonight, what have you made of all this? What have you made of sort of the reaction to it and the celebrations themselves?
Well, start the celebrations. They started out as something that was genuine, something to keep the, you know, thank the fans. And then the guys were having a little bit of fun, led by their captain, who's a great captain, Justin Williams, who recognized that they needed something a little, you know, extra for the fans down there. And maybe for the guys just to have a little kind of camaraderie. And I guess the word is organic. So it happened organically. And then it started becoming, you know, a lot of attention came to it because the amount of time and everything they were putting into thinking about these. And now it's become just part of them, their team, part of their, I guess, their DNA. I have no issue with it. I don't know if it would fly in every market, but that's the reason we have different markets, Beetle. You know, they started the year out there with a new owner, and they had a new attitude, but it really at times was it didn't get off to what was always a great vibe down there, not a lot of fans coming. And now it's become something that the people down there feel like is theirs. They're part of it. They can't wait for it. The reaction to all of it, listen, everybody's got an opinion.
And I would say this, if I could just stop you, the most notable reaction has been Don Cherry's, who said on Hockey Night in Canada, they're a bunch of jerks. That's been the one that's been blown up.
Right. They look like a bunch of jerks doing it. And you know, to me, look, I've known Don for a long time. I've worked with Don. I like Don a lot. Don, to me, this is my opinion, is wrong on that. You have to understand markets, and you have to understand sometimes things happen. You know what? All of a sudden when teams a few years ago, and I know they do it in a lot of sports now, but especially in hockey, they started handing out hard hats, or they started handing out a thing at the end of the game to recognize the player of the game. Well, at first that was like, I mean, remember the Bruins had that old coat that they handed out, that old Bruins starter coat
whatever? Yeah. Yeah, then they had the chain. Then they had the dog chain,
right.
Too.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay, I know that's not an overt celebration on the ice with 20 skaters, but that happened organically. It was like, hey, we recognize it. Okay. This is the same thing.
I get it.
Have fun with it. Here's the thing. It's after the game. If you don't like it, turn the TV off, or leave the arena, or don't watch it. It's after the game. It's not in-game. I happen to like this a lot more than a goofy, crazy, over-the-top celebration in-game. I like when guys celebrate a first down in football. Okay, come on, fine, whatever. Celebrate a touchdown. To me, that's better. But anyway, just my humble opinion.
Hey, one thing they will do tonight is the Carolina Hurricanes will be wearing the Hartford Whalers green uniforms, which I find cool to see them on the ice again, and absolutely shameful for that franchise to be using them and wearing them all at the same time.
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you.
All right. Appreciate the time, Billy. Good to talk to you.
See you, Bill.
Great to talk to all you guys, too. Have a wonderful day. See ya.
All right. Billy Jaffe from Nesson on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I hate that they're wearing those uniforms. I love it, Nate, it all at once.
I just told Tom, imagine if like the Patriots had moved to St. Louis and then, you know, like, you know, we're going to roll out Patriots.
Break out the Patriots uniforms. F you. You stole my team, right. And now you get to, you know, throw it back in my face with the throwback uniforms? No. You don't get to take the uniforms with you.
Let's make some money off old Pat Patriot.
Cash That's grab. Like. That's all it is. It's a cash grab by a team that took a team out of a market, and now they, it's shameful that they're doing that.
Tisk, tisk.
It is fun to see him out on the ice, though, in an actual game. You think Hartford could support a team there again?
No.
No.
They barely could get wrestling.
I think they might.
I think they might be able to handle it. I think they might. Could bring back Brass Bonanza.
Yep. Upside down whale. Finn. Tail. First, we could do it. No, because we're flagship of the Bruins. I'd say we could take our show on the road.
I just think it would be fun. I think it would be great to have a team down
there.
Bring
back Bob Neumeier. He could do the game.
Yes.
It would be. But it's not like hockey has experienced such unbelievable growth over the last decade or so to think that they could somehow put a team there either by way of expansion or moving a team from a failing market to Hartford and have it be an automatic success.
Listen, Miami has a hockey team. Why can't Hartford?
It's not doing that great.
Well, that's why I would think about moving it from one of those crap markets to Hartford.
How
would the Florida Panthers do? Would they do better in Hartford or in where they are now?
I think Milwaukee would probably be in line before Hartford.
Yeah, but I mean, that's through expansion. Those teams are. Seattle's going to get a team.
Well, I mean, yeah, Seattle is going to get a team. Milwaukee should be next. If you're gonna move Miami, I think
Such
there's a couple of cities in line before Hartford.
Kind of Munstery. Let's get that creepy organ. Sounds like the Doors.
They could. What's the other one in Ontario? They could
Quebec.
No. In not far from Toronto. What's it? Hamilton. People have talked about having a team in Hamilton.
No.
They could
put a team in Quebec again.
They could. I'm saying there are other cities where you could support it a lot easier than Hartford. Yes, it would be nice, but I don't think it's a great idea.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.